One sat alone beside the highway, begging. His eyes were blind, the light he could not see. He clutched his old rags and shivered in the shadows. Then Jesus came and bade his darkness flee.
It's time to open the Word once again with Evangelist Lester Roloff on the Family Altar Program.
Glory, for all is changed when Jesus comes to stay.
Ephesians chapter 2. You may raise the question, I'll answer it. What makes it necessary for people to be saved? And the answer is, because they're lost. If you were to read the book of Luke, you'll find in the 15th chapter where there was a lost sheep, there was a lost coin, and there was a lost boy. A lost son, but all of them were lost. None of them looked like wanted to be lost. And none of them found themselves. Something happened. The shepherd said, I'm not going to let my sheep be lost. I'm going to look for that sheep until I find it. And he found the sheep and came back rejoicing. The woman lost the coin in her home, and she lighted a candle and got her a broom. And I believe that that's the revival we need today. We need a broom in the home. And that's where I believe the broom is needed in two places, the home and the church. And when I mean, I'm not talking about just sweeping out. I'm talking about sweeping out the dirt, the filth. I'm not talking about sweeping people out. I'm talking about sweeping the dirt out. And we'll never find what we've lost until we take the gospel broom and start sweeping. And there's nobody to operate the gospel broom like the preacher. He's the one. And the woman swept until she found what she'd lost, which was a coin. And then she rejoiced and called in her neighbors, and they rejoiced when she found what she'd lost. And then there was the lost son, the younger son, he said. And he seemed like he had everything. He had a home, he had a father, he had a brother, had provisions. He said, Father, give me the goods that falleth to me. And the Bible said, He gave him the goods, and he went into a far country. A lot of people living in that country. That's the popular country. That's the crowded country. Most people are living in a far country today. That's the country of sin. Most people are living a long ways away from God. I have to say that because everybody's miserable, unhappy. I started to speak this afternoon on the subject of rest, R-E-S-T. It's a gift. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Everything that I've ever hungered for, I found out later, was a gift. I love friends. They're a gift of God. Any friend you have to buy is not a friend. Any friend you have to pacify is not a friend. Our friendship must be built on faith in Jesus Christ. Our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And if we walk in the light as He's in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood cleanses us from all sin. Now then, the prodigal son had to spend everything he had. He lost everything he had. He lost his character, and he lost his coat. He lost his clothes. He lost his respect. The wages of sin is death. And if a person lives in sin, he soon loses his mind. The Bible said he had to come to himself. He came to himself. And then he came to his Father. Oh, I wish I could get you to do a little thinking today. But the trouble, and wherever I go, I believe I see people that have been given up to a reprobate mind. You know what a reprobate mind is? It's a mind that cannot think the thoughts of God. Some people think I'm a little warped, and I've gone off at the deep end on warning against television. The reason I do is because it's captured the minds of the people. Television has made people where they can't even think about God anymore. They can't pray. They can't remember the scripture. They don't have any fellowship with the Lord. And, of course, anything. I mean, if you want to boil it all down, and before I go any further, anything that's as popular as television would have to be poison. See? Anything that everybody goes after, that's the thing the Christian better not go after. Now, I realize that it's getting a bigger hold all the time. All the time. All the time. But it's conquered the minds of the people. But I tell you what, the more people watch television, the more they're going to have to go to the psychiatrist. And the more they're going to have to go to the hospital. And the more they're going to have some help in many different ways. Because it captures the minds of the people. And when you don't use your mind to think, now the Bible said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Hollywood said, let this mind be in you, which is in us. And the average person thinks, average girl thinks about Hollywood more than she does heaven. The average daddy, grandmother, and granddaddy, they think about Hollywood more than they do heaven. You don't hear people talking about heaven anymore. When I started preaching, heaven was the main subject. Actually, I could go back down in Prairie Grove, around in Limestone County. I could go see some of the old saints of God, and why you'd come up and they'd have an old Bible apiece open some hot afternoon, they'd be talking about heaven. I never preached a meeting in my early days of ministry without somebody saying, Brother Wolof, when are you going to preach on heaven? Now then, you don't hear them talk about heaven. They've laughed our heaven out almost, and of course they've done away with hell. They tried to, and they don't think, we don't think anymore. We think, well, this is heaven right here, and this is hell right here. No, dear friends, that's going to be a real heaven. As they sang a while ago, and tears rolled down my cheeks when that precious little girl looked up and said, Daddy, sorry. We've come to the parting of the ways. And I'll guarantee you there's going to be a many a daddy that'll never go. They'll never go. Oh, they had time for cows. They had time for office work. They had time for bowling and fishing and camping and outing. They had time for everything. They had no time for God. Saying to the wife, honey, you take the children, go on to Sunday school. I'll be here when you get back. I'll kind of watch the roast, and I got a little yard work, and I want to run the office. And you want to run to hell too, buddy. You go on without me. They're going without you. They're going. There'll be a coming time. You men, you need to realize, dear friend, that heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people.
Amen.
Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come back and get you. And dear friends, I believe that Jesus Christ is gone to prepare me a place. And the first time in all of my life, I'll have the privilege of living in a new home. I'd like for the first new house I live in to be my heavenly house, my heaven home. Well, the second chapter of the book of Ephesians tells us the condition of a lost person. And then it tells us what we've got to do to be saved. This morning, I preached the simple plan of salvation. Again, this afternoon, I'd like to tell you about the condition of a person that's without Christ. You hath he quickened, verse 1, chapter 2, Ephesians. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Yes, that's the condition of a lost person. They're dead. That's the reason I never do get unruly with a lost person. They're dead. I never am unkind to a lost person. They're unkind to me. I've had them to say a lot of ugly things to me, and you have too if you've been out visiting and worked with them. But I never get ugly with a lost person. Never. Only thing I'd say is this. You just don't understand. You don't understand. You have to quicken who were dead. You never find an undertaker or people that are unkind to a dead body. They always respect. But now he said, where in time past you walk according to the course of this world. What is the course of the world? Downstream. Water doesn't run upstream, does it? It runs downstream. I'll tell you something else. A dead fish never goes upstream. I remember out here at Dawson, Texas, when the rains would come, and we'd pull off our shoes and roll up our britches legs, and we'd wade those ditches, and those streams would be running, and those little old sun perch, I can see them now as they'd sit there and then go up a little further, they're going upstream. But every once in a while, I'd see one coming downstream, but he was dead. That's the way lost people are. Dead fish going downstream, with no direction, no course, no protection, and no sense of responsibility, downstream they go. That's the way dead people are. That's the way sinners are. Wherein in time past you walk according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. You know, for these last years I've been flying, and I guess I've realized that the devil really is the prince of the power of the air. Never have I seen the elements more rebellious and more violent than they are now. You ask the Weather Bureau, call them up. And since the Weather Bureau's been in action, you call them and ask them if they've ever seen as violent weather as we've had the last 5 or 10 years. And they'll say, no, sir. Ask them if they've ever seen that many cyclones. They'll say, no, sir. As many hurricanes, the destructive times in the weather. No, sir. The Bible says that violence covered the face of the earth in the days of Noah. And the devil, as he takes more and more control, there's going to be more violence. There's violence on earth. There's violence in the air. Violence in the home. And there's even violence in society, everywhere. And more people being killed. One of your boys got killed here, didn't he? Murdered, actually. They killed him. They called it fun. God calls it sin. And that boy's dead today because some unthoughted boys, some people that somehow evaluate their feelings more than they do somebody's safety. Our schools have largely become places of immorality and disobedience and godlessness. And I tell you, I'm afraid our schools have drifted a long ways from expecting. We want a big student body, and we want money, and we want endowment. But what we need is the endowment of God and the endowment of the Holy Spirit today. And we've got a lot of high learning, but it's turning out a lot of lower living. Let me ask you. Our brother Sample said, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Let me ask you a question. What shall it profit a young man if he gains a college education, even with a doctor's degree, and loses his faith in Jesus Christ? What shall it profit a young lady if she does get a real good education, so far as academic training is concerned, and loses her own character? I mean, what's it going to profit you? How can we build a great nation on the sand? We've got to get back to the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I know it could be done on any campus, but listen, I still believe that we need old-fashioned Bible discipline put to our schools. We need to teach them to live separated lives. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, third verse, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and we're by nature the children of wrath, even as others. We got to the heart of the trouble now. Did you know that you're born, your nature's a sinful nature? You know where the word natural comes from? Comes from the word nature. It's natural to sin because that's your nature. We are born with a bad nature. Somebody said, I don't know why he's so bad natured. Well, he's born like that. I don't know if anybody's naturally good. Do you? I believe you're born naturally bad. That's what the Bible teaches. You have a rotten nature. Little boy came in had a blue spot on his leg. He's kind of taken a bath, and his mother said, "Son, what is that that blue spot there on your leg?" He said, "I don't know. You telling me I'm bad? I guess it's a rotten spot." All of us have rotten spots. Every last one of us have rotten spots. Fact is, every sinner is just one big rotten spot. I don't know why we don't tell the people this. I'm sick and tired of modernism. It says every day and every way we're getting better and better. Oh, the sinfulness. Why, he said, by nature were the children of wrath. You're born like that. That's reading little children lie. That's reading they cheat and steal and fight and cuss and raise Cain. That's reading they get in so much trouble. You know, with all of our education, we see more degradation than ever before. I tell you, as I fly over the old farm, I have sweet memories. I don't remember sniffing glue. I don't remember drinking liquor. I don't remember my mother and daddy sitting around hollering, "I'm going to get a divorce." I don't remember my daddy cussing my mama. I don't remember my mother fussing at my daddy. I don't know of a family feud we ever had. My daddy didn't get to go through high school, and my mother didn't get to go through high school, but they had more practical sense than most college graduates now. At least they got along and reached the 50th, the golden wedding anniversary. Ah, let's be done with education without regeneration. Who cares anything about correct English if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ? Who wants to learn how to talk or to make a speech if you can't talk about Jesus? What is public speaking good for if you don't represent the Lord Jesus Christ? Little children, I write unto you that ye sin not. But if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And I know that God's people are the happiest people on the face of this earth. And I've never met, not one time in my life, the devil's children, not even one of them that's been happy. I said to a sinner not long ago, I said, "Are you happy?" And he said, "Sure, I'm happy." I said, "Are you telling me the truth?" He said, "Yeah, I'm telling you the truth. But I don't have anything to worry about." I let him talk a while, and directly he looked at me and he said, "No, really, preacher, I'm miserable." I said, "Now you're getting down to the truth, aren't you?" Isn't it strange that people would live for the devil and be miserable every day and then go live with him throughout eternity? And so he said, "We are by nature children of wrath, even as others." That means everybody else is too. That's the reason I tell the boys down the jail, when I go down there and say, "Fellas, you're made out of the same hunk of mud I'm made out of. We're all just alike." And I said, "You haven't done one thing that I haven't done or couldn't do, except by the grace of God. The only thing." And I'll tell you, this business of being proud and arrogant and self-righteous is a dirty sin in the sight of God. And that not anybody in this building, but what I'd be willing to admit, that if I had lived under the same circumstances you lived under, more than likely I would have done about or maybe worse than what you've done. And preacher and Christians, if we don't admit that, we're not seeing how sinful our human nature is. I believe that my mother and my daddy, with their strict discipline, had something to do with guiding me and keeping a rein on the flesh until the Spirit took over. When I started preaching, one of the first ones I ever whipped was my daddy. He said, "Did you whip your daddy?" "Yeah, I took the old gospel whip and put it on him." But you know what? He came to the place where he said, "Son, you're right about it." And I was a blessing to my daddy, just like he was a blessing. See, he whipped me and I chastened him. But it blessed me, and it blessed him, and we both loved each other for it. Amen? Why, sure, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. Sure he does. And so he said, by nature we're the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich, I like that. God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, it quickened together with Christ. By grace are you saved. Now then, let's finish up the picture of the sinner. Go to the 12th verse. That at that time you were without Christ. That's a sinner. You don't have any Christ. And anybody without a Christ can't go to heaven. You've got to have a Christ to go to heaven. That's your door. You got to go through the door. Jesus said, I am the door. I am the door. That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens. Being aliens. You know what an alien is? That's a man without even citizenship papers. He's a stranger here. And that's what Border Patrol picks up. We got a lot of aliens in the valley. And they were constantly dodging the Border Patrol. The Border Patrol. Because they knew the Border Patrol would pick them up and send them back to Mexico. Dear friend, I'm going to ask you a question. Do you have your passport to heaven? There'll be no aliens getting into glory. Not a one. Everybody will have to have their passport. And your passport must be signed in the blood of Jesus. That's right. In Jesus' name, you get that passport. There'll be no questions asked when you reach the entering into that city not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. I tell you, that's enough to get excited about, isn't it? To know that when this little journey is all over, we'll step just inside the pearly gate and there meet mother and dad and friends and loved ones and others that have gone on. He said, aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. I don't know of any sadder words than those two words, no hope. Go to the hospital. Doctors have a conference. Come out of the operating room. The doctor looks at you and shakes his head and said, no hope. No hope. But this, dear friends, I tell you, there's hope if you put your trust in Christ. Oh, today is the day of salvation, and now is the time. And I'd like to say in closing and give you the recipe of God's salvation, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Now notice, by grace, through faith, are you saved. That means that Jesus paid it all. It's all to him. I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
Thank you for joining us today on the Family Altar Program with Lester Roloff. You may listen to the preaching and the special music of the Family Altar Program 24 hours a day when you visit our ministry website, roloff.org. We love hearing from our listeners. If this broadcast has been a blessing to you, please write to us at Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, P.O. Box 100, Fort Thomas, Arizona, 85536. Again, that's Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, P.O. Box 100, Fort Thomas, Arizona, 85536. This broadcast is made possible by the prayers and financial support of listeners like you. Thank you for partnering with us, and remember that Christ is the answer.